Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We need to make it cool to read is partly yes. The goal of this channel, along with also interviewing Sanderson. What do you recommend to the jock out there?
It's a book of Easter eggs.
There's this book that you haven't read yet that I would definitely recommend for the emo kids out there. It's called All My Friends Are Dead.
Huh. Little on the nose.
Welcome back, everybody, to another Tutor Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
I'm your other host, Richard.
Recommending books to high school cliques. These high school cliches, you see them all the time, the jocks, the nerds. And we're going to speak to little Rich, little Austin here, and little anybody that you could look back to your youth and think, oh, I would have enjoyed this book back in the day. This kind of tells you what kind of person you are. And also, maybe if anybody has kids out there, what book you can get your kid to read? Because we're going to give perfect recommendations to every single clique there is in the high school genre.
Yep. There are no other cliques. There are only these boxes. And if you don't fit into that box, there's something wrong with you. That's the list. I hope you understand.
It's going to be mostly fantasy sci-fi because that's what we read. But some could teeter out of the genre a little bit.
Oh, I kept myself to a hard rule of only fantasy sci-fi, but you go outside the...
Two of them.
You know what? I had a book I wanted to give to another category, but I was like, it's not fantasy, it's not sci-fi.
Okay.
We'll come across it.
Okay, well, we're going to keep these spoiler-free, but we're going to talk themes mainly. We're not going to give you plot details and all that, but we have to recommend it to these high schoolers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
First one that we're covering are the jocks out there, the bros.
The bros.
Oh, where's the basketball I had? Oh.
Can you spin it on your finger?
Oh, that was better than I thought. I could. Let's go ahead. Your turn.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm not. I mean.
Audio only, just hears grunting. Ready? That wasn't bad.
That's not terrible. All right,
we're not doing that again. Okay, jocks, what do you recommend to the jock out there?
I mean, I think there's only one real choice. Red Rising.
Give me some of that testosterone.
I mean, I think every single athletic guy that I've come across is like actually reads fantasy sci-fi books, they're like, oh, how'd you get into it? Red Rising. Like, that's been the frequent introduction to sci-fi fantasy reading, and I think it just works great. Testosterone, fun, great introduction.
Yes, it's one of those high-energy books that also, not to call the jocks out there a certain type, but it's hard to get jocks to read stereotypically. It really is.
They have a lot of other things they can do with their time. I get it. I understand.
One of the apexes of the high school hierarchy. So they have anything they could do. Why would they read? So to get them to read, how about this fast-paced adrenaline rush where you could think of these speeches when you're going out into a game. Mm-hmm. When you're going out to play football, prom night the next day.
You go out to the game and you want to think that you need a little bit of hypo. You imagine a good Darrow of Lycos quote. And it's like, in your head, you look at yourself in the mirror of like, I am Darrow. I am the Reaper of Mars. Like, just get into it. I see it.
There's those lines, which I'm not going to get into plot details, but just speeches Darrow gives to his fellow his fellow people that you'll see in the book happen, the things. But Daryl giving straight up speeches about leadership, saying, "You follow me because I know where we're going. I will." It's everything. It's blood pumping. And even the villains that you'll meet in Red Rising have also speeches that I'm going, damn, am I on the wrong side right now? Yeah, Augustus, his whole speech. Yeah. I'm going, wow, what a villain. Okay, so Red Rising.
That's mine. What did you give? What'd you give the jocks?
Red Rising.
By the way, I mean, this is a coincidence, but we actually have not looked at each other's lists.
We have not.
We made these independently, so we both just knew Red Rising is for the jocks.
But I knew you would put Red Rising, so I have a backup.
Oh, okay.
I have a backup ahead. Because I said Red Rising is the obvious choice. This one is, you're going to agree with me, it's more true than Red Rising.
Okay.
Meditations.
I thought we were sticking to sci-fi fantasy, but true.
How many meditations quotes do you... And here's the thing. The jock doesn't even read the book Meditations. They just saw the online quote about meditations that gives them inspiration in a time of need.
Oh, no. It's the whole bro... it's,
broism.
It's the broism. It's not actual... God, help me out. What's the actual... It's not stoicism. It's not real stoicism. It's broicism.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, it's the book for bros. Mm-hmm. I get it.
How many quotes can you pull out of that? And again, if we're talking being in a locker room, the coach trying to hype up his players.
Why do you get out of bed? But to, like, if you're struggling to get out of bed, realize what is my purpose, to sit here and lie, or is it to go out and conquer the world? Is, you know, like... Things
take
like
command
that.
Of your now, life.
Did I take liberty with that quote? Yes, a little bit.
But that's for our jocks out there. Red Rising, Meditation. So if your kid's out there, jock, if you are, that these are the books you got to read.
Yep.
The next one we have is The Popular Cool Kid.
Yep.
That category.
I personally have The Way of Kings.
Really?
Yes, for a few reasons.
Okay, dish it out.
One, I think just on a, like if... We're trying to just lean into stereotypes here. If you're a popular cool kid, you want to read the popular cool fantasy book.
Somewhere, yeah.
Bran Sanderson is the popular fantasy author. He's the hip guy in right now. It's also kind of a status symbol. You look at The Way of Kings and how big it is, and just the thick books. It's like, look at you. You read that whole ass book, and like that's... It's impressive to others to see that
you
read that.
Rich, I agree. I think the popular cool kids are cool because they read fantasy books.
Hey.
And they read 400,000 word tomes. Like, man, is that the kid? I want to be that kid one day.
Thing is, high school has changed. Being dumb as rocks is not as cool anymore. Like, some level of intelligence of, like, is desirable. I would say, like, just not being... a complete moron. Well, it's something cool. Like, it's impressive. Like, oh wow, you read a lot. That's pretty cool.
I think it's more the EQ for the popular kids. You need to have that emotional. Hey, you can socialize well.
Also, I think all the messages of responsibility and doing what's doing what is right despite how you feel is a good thing. It's a good thing for those popular kids to learn. What is your book?
I just want to see the one popular kid that's read a book that long. No, they'll come around. They'll exit high school. Then maybe they'll go, hey, I missed out on this Way of Kings thing. I want to read it now. Because what I separated it into the popular girls and popular boys.
Okay.
Popular boys, I said, they read nothing. That's why they're popular. But I did put a caveat of having to put an answer. I kind of went your route where I went A Song of Ice and Fire.
Okay.
A popular thing. Dune, Lord of the Rings, the reason those three big ones, because what's in the zeitgeist? What does everybody know? And maybe they'd kind of see the show, Game of Thrones, or they'd see the movies and go, oh, I kind of want to read that. That's the route I went there. For the popular girls, I went more your Fourth Wings. It's super, again, what's the most popular book out there that you can talk about with your friends? And that's also accessible. So it hits all of those.
Those are the correct answers. I was maybe being a bit more hopeful of what they should read.
Here's what they should, but Rich, I think you're objectively wrong on The Way of Kings being the popular kid choice.
I don't know. I went to a different type of high school. I'm just
Maybe I'm just projecting. I'm like, man, I wasn't cool enough to, and I'm saying,
yeah,
I'm just projecting. But did you have it separated? You said all popular kids would read that.
I just put it all popular kids, that's but fair. You know, you are right. Your answers were the most correct.
Well, the most correct one was they're not reading. And we need to make it cool to read is partly the goal of this channel, along with also interviewing Sanderson, along with also reaching, what's your subscriber goal now, Rich?
We have a subscriber goal?
We did at one point.
I mean, didn't we want to get to 100,000 or something?
This year. I remember when there's the New Year's resolutions, you're just like, yeah, we're going to, this is the year we hit that.
I'm going, hey, Rich, I'm allowed to have
hope. Audacious, yeah.
better to reach for the stars and hit the moon. Or what? Yeah. No. You reach for the moon and you'll land among the stars.
No, I think it was right the first time, right? You reach for the stars and you hit the moon, right? Because you're reaching for 100, but we...
No, I think the actual term is like, you know, you try to go for the moon, even if you miss, you'll land among the stars. Oh. So, like, even if you fail, you're still...
Out there in space, got in the vacuum. Okay.
Yes.
All right. The next one we have are the nerds.
All right. This one I have a bit more, you know, expertise in. I have more experience to recommend this.
What did you read? What did we read?
I have two, actually. So I cheated. I felt like I had to pick two.
That's not allowed. I had three. So go ahead.
Okay. There's two levels. I'm imagining two levels of nerd. Like, there's the level one surface nerd of the other people consider the person themselves considers themselves a nerd, but no one else really does. No one else really thinks of them as a nerd, but they do. For them, The Martian. You know, it's accessible. It is smart. It is interesting. You get to be on Mars. Hey, how would you survive on Mars? Accessible to people. People don't really think you're a nerd, but you think yourself a nerd. And so you should pick up The Martian. Now, to the other nerds who everyone sees them as a nerd. Like, they have been deemed a nerd.
The teacher calls their parents and goes, hey, make sure they don't get bullied. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Take care of them at home. Yeah.
For those unfortunate youths. The Fire Upon the Deep. Upon the Deep. I think that would be an appropriate book for the nerds out there.
Because you get into it.
Oh, get into it. Just the idea of, hey, how would the singularity being an impossible idea in science fiction, and the author going like, how could this actually work without human beings just being completely wiped out and conquered and just eradicated, and him coming up with the levels of consciousness and thought, and changing the rules about reality and physics the closer you get to the center. Interesting, fascinating. You get to learn about creatures with parallax views, which... Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Was very fun. The tines are great. That is a world-building book. And that was... So I had my answers. My third one was A Fire Upon the Deep. I'm with you, too. And second was Children of Time. More so in the Children of Time is where you get into that more evolutionary science, biology. That science camp would love that a lot. And my number one pick is Project Hail Mary. Yeah. Project Hail Mary is... It comes from the perspective of a teacher, just like The Martian. It's the Martian and Project Hail Mary, both written by Andy Weir. And these characters here are these teachers who are out in space, and they have to solve problems, and they have to use science to solve problems. What is more nerdy than that? And I love that book.
Yep.
It's gobbles you up. It's so good. And I haven't read The Martian, but the Project Hail Mary, so good. And it hits that mass market, but it's certainly nerds can appreciate it so much more. Because even me reading it, I don't understand all the physics, but I'm learning as I'm reading the book. I feel like I'm also picking up on things and going, oh, cool. I feel like this is somewhat educational.
Oh, yeah. Just this is chapter one-ish type thing. I don't believe this to be a spoiler, but one of the things I found very fun in the beginning is, you know, the main character calculating gravity using a type of centrifuge.
And
super fun to learn that kind of stuff. And I love the problem solving of that.
Yes. Yes. So, and now we've got this. These are different. These are different. That one was nerds. Now we have the geek.
Yes.
And how did you define and differ the nerd from the geek?
As far as at least my own definition of it, the nerd is the book smart. He's interested in science. They're interested in, science, math, that kind of stuff. The geek is the one that's into the Marvel movies, is into the pop culture, video games, that kind of background culture.
100%.
Often they overlap, but I think they are different.
Yes.
You can have, geeks that basically fail at every class. Nerds should be getting straight A's, generally.
I think that's the right definition, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you have for recommending to the geek?
This one, maybe a little out there. I put Shadow of the Torturer.
Wow.
The main reason... Huh. So, when I think of geeks, what geeks love to do is to see and to see references and to always being able to pick out the Easter eggs of little franchise and go really deep into a whatever kind of movie, games, whatever mediums, references and inspirations, all the deep dive videos of Infinity War explained videos. Shadow of the Torturer is just full of Easter eggs, and it is a fun book to dissect and find out, what is this influenced by? Oh, here's a mystery to unpack within this sci-fi world.
A puzzle. It's exactly. A big puzzle. Got it.
It's a book of Easter eggs. It's what it is.
I can see it. And you need a YouTube deep dive to understand it fully. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went simpler with, you said video games, Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Sure,
If you're a geek and you like video games and you want to just read, it's a lit RPG, a literature RPG, where it's literally a role-playing game where Carl and his now talking cat, Donut, go through levels of a dungeon trying to survive and make it to the end while this AI grows sentience, and there's a lot of people trying to not make sure the crawlers like Carl get out of it alive. You're going to Easter eggs galore. You get leveling up, which is exactly what the geek wants as well. You want to see a nice level system and get into the nerd culture. Also, the world expands so much book to book where I would have to reread the books again to even get everything out of the world. But yeah, Dungeon Crawler Carl.
You do remind me of, I should probably explain Shadow of the Torturer a little bit for people who don't know what the book's about.
Yes.
The book is about a main character who is a torturer by trade. And in this world, torture is a career field for mostly orphans. And it's the journey of a torturer who commits the greatest sin of all in his guild, giving mercy. And so it's his journey, experiencing those consequences. And then basically you're confused most of the time because nothing's straightforward. Kind of leave it at that. It feels like a fantasy world, but it's definitely sci-fi, but it's weird sci-fi.
Yeah, Gene Wolfe, we haven't read the second through third, or I think there's a fifth book too, technically speaking, but you need a book club after reading something like that.
Yeah.
Because we needed to understand, we had a live where we joined with JJ Mitten and them, and Talking Story, was necessary. And also join our book club, link in the description below. We do a book every month, and our book this month is Guards, Guards by Terry Pratchett. So I'm stoked for that.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Our next one is The Band Kids. I think we should clarify this too. What clique were you, Rich? Was it the band kid clique? Because you were in band.
Yeah. No, I was basically the musical clique of, I did choir, band, and I also did theater, mainly when there was a musical.
Got it.
Like, I didn't do the plays very often. I would help out with the background of creating sets and for plays, but I would sing in the musical numbers.
Nice.
Yeah. Everything. So
this is your forte then. You have to have the definitive answer for the band kid.
Thing is, you did not have, we did not have band kids on our list. You left that out. But thankfully.
Oh, I didn't send you band kids on it?
No.
Oh.
But I already have the correct answer.
Yes.
It would be the Kings of the Wild.
Yes. Correct.
Kings of the Wild is D&D plus 1970s rock references.
Yes.
I mean, that's about it. If you love rock, classic rock music, and you like D&D, it's going to be a fun time. It's doesn't take itself too seriously. It's a funny book. I think it's one that if you like both of those genres, you will get a lot out of. If you're not into either of those subcultures, maybe the book's not going to really land for you. So that's crossover for the band kids.
Crossover with the geeks and the band kids there too.
Sure.
Because you get the D&D stuff and you get the 80s. It is 80s, right?
70s 80s or 80s, band? I think. I think it's 80s. Classic, yeah, you're right.
Classic rock references.
I'm pretty sure it's the 80s. And so I was wrong the first time.
It's one of your favorite tropes as well, where it's the retired badass, except in this it's the retired badasses because it's a bunch of, it's called Kings of the Wild because there's these bands of troops that they call
these mercenary, you know, these guild groups where they go out fight monsters. They call themselves bands, not, you know, a troops. Party.
Yeah.
So this band of old men, they used to be some of the greatest adventurers, and now they are getting back together for one last ride to save one of the band members' daughters who are being, you know, trapped and bombarded by a bunch of monsters in the city. So they're going off on an adventure to save her. It's great. Fantastic. Retired badass trope is always a winner for me.
We watched F1 relatively recently.
Mm-hmm.
What a cliche movie. Had a great time.
Oh, super fun.
I predict every single plot point, and I'm still going vroom, 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 vroom. Yeah. That's what it's like with Top Gun Maverick 2. Did it break the mold? No. But it's so good.
Did it do the mold just right? Yes.
Perfectly. I also had the same answer, Kings of the Wild. That is the correct one from what we've read for Band Kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have, this is the class clown, the jokesters. That archetype, that clique, what would you recommend to the jokester out there?
For the class clown, I felt like I had to pick a Terry Pratchett book. Mm-hmm. It was just which one. So I decided on Going Postal. I think Going Postal is one of the funniest Discworld books for me personally. I laughed some of the most with that one. Maybe the themes on just the post office and capitalism and all that stuff was really funny for me. I think it's a really funny book. The book takes place, their main character, Moist Van Lipwick. I butchered the name. I'm sorry. But Moist is a character. Chapter one, he's about to be hanged. He's going to be executed for scamming people.
Well, there's no chapters in Discworld.
There is no chapters. I'm giving you page one type of stuff.
You said chapter one. I'm just making sure. That it's just endless words.
I can give the setup.
Yeah.
So Moist is about to be executed for scamming people and causing harm in the city of Ankh-Morpork. And the leader of Ankh-Morpork, instead of killing him, decides to commute his sentence to being the head of the post office. Because the post office is a dying wing of the government because of these new telegraph machines and these clankers and all this. And so it's Moist's job to get the post office back and running and making it popular again and to get it all working. And it's lovely. It's a hilarious novel. I love it.
All Discworld books would be a great answer for this. The class clown's going to love that. I went the other route with Douglas Adams, Hitchhiker's Guide, and British humor. For some reason, in book form, British humor is so much funnier to me. It just works.
British humor is better.
It's just so funny. And you have it's very funny. It's that kind of dry humor, the witty humor. It's innuendos. It's layered. It's very layered humor. And Discworld and Hitchhikers, it's strange. How would you differ them as authors? Because they're clearly very different, but they're very funny in different ways. I don't want to just say, hey, they're both British guys who make jokes. How would you say Hitchhikers has, is it a different style of humor to you?
Style, maybe not. I think Hitchhikers takes nihilism and makes it funny. And I don't think there's anything particularly nihilistic about Discworld. in many ways, I think it's more hopeful. There's this absurd meaning. And I've always kind of had this impression that things matter in Discworld, even though it's absurd. And it's a weird feeling. But often the joke with hitchhikers is nothing matters. Haha, it is all silly. Versus Discworld starts kind of the opposite of you think this kind of silly stuff doesn't matter, and then you're kind of hit home. The punchline is like, actually, there is something that matters. Mm. That's how I at least interpret it.
Yeah, I think hitchhikers, it would be more accurate to be, that is absurdism, just because it's like, hey, look how absurd life is. Like, there's nihilism, existentialism, absurdism. Then the absurdism of it is like, yeah, this is also stupid and ridiculous. Why not just face and confront the chaos? Yeah. Basically, look how chaotic things are. Ha ha.
Yeah.
That kind of fun. And yeah, hitchhikers, I think we got to, yeah, the humor itself is, I have said this a billion times, I will say it again and I'll still laugh, but there's a description, there's a line in there where Douglas Adams says, the ships hung in the sky much in the same way that bricks don't. And how funny of a line is that? Just, and then you have Discworld one-liners too, where that are just as funny. But The Class Clown is made for a book like Hitchhikers. It's, you're going through space. Earth is explodes in the first, what, two chapters. It's gone. Goodbye, Earth. And you're off in space with these aliens on an absurd journey.
Yep.
It's very funny.
Trying to find the answer to the universe.
Yes.
At life, universe, and everything. Mm-hmm. So, super fun.
I hope I didn't do that out of order. Does that happen in the first two chapters? Nick, you want to?
Really early
is
on.
I hope it is. I'm hoping I'm misremembering. Yeah. Okay. Because the next one we have here is the emo kid.
What did you give it? What do you recommend to the emo kids?
I got this. So I toss in the air. There's this book that you haven't read yet that mm-hmm. I would definitely recommend for the emo kids out there. It's called All My Friends Are Dead.
Little on the nose.
And it's a picture book of a dinosaur on the cover of All My Friends Are Dead. And it just shows you page by page of, hey, look, all my friends are dead. And then it shows different people of all their friends being dead. And by the end, it's like, oh, the meteor's coming. And it's just, it's a funny short book. It's you could read it in 2 minutes.
Man, you just want to like lean into it, huh?
It's a good recommendation.
I'm recommending a little something more hopeful. This is more prescription. My recommendation is Hyperion.
Oh. Okay. Oh, all right.
I think the themes of the book of, you know, depression, meaning, basically a group of people on this pilgrimage journey, basically Canterbury Tales in space, this group on a death march to their presumed doom. They all believe that they are going to die at the end of this journey. Then the question is, why did they start the journey to begin with? What is their purpose from it? And you get to explore each one's experiences, why they're willing to go.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
On this, you know, life-ending journey. Sometimes worth it, sometimes not. But like, I think that's a fun way to explore it. And that ultimately, even through all this intense struggle, life does have a meaning. There are things worth putting your life for, not just to let it go.
It's a little bit more hopeful.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think about Neuromancer? Would that fit?
You want to change your answer?
Neuromancer fit for...
I guess. I think it's a little too technical. I don't know. Just like too
cyberpunk.
Techie. Yeah, I guess.
Cyberpunk is very emo. That it gets you in that zone, that mood.
It probably would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be,
Neuromancer. It's the yeah. If you want to look at a cyberpunk book, that is the book equivalent of well, it, there's a what is it? Electric Sheep is the book that's actually based on Blade Runner.
Do androids dream of Electric Sheep?
Yeah. But it's Blade Runner esque in book form.
Yep.
It's Neuromancer. Okay. Good answer, Rich. Yeah. Hopeful ass. Okay. This next one is for the outcast, the loner kid.
Yep.
That click. What'd you give? Because I think I have the answer.
I have two. I have one that I think the people would recommend, and like, oh. I understand how everyone else would recommend this one, and mm-hmm. then I have the one that I would personally recommend.
What would everybody, then what would you?
I think everyone would recommend The Dispossessed to the loner and the outcast.
Oh, I see what you mean.
A lot of that book is about, so its character named Shavek is a physicist on the planet Anaris. And Anaris is this anarchism planet. And due to his own society, he's been limited and restricted on pursuing his life's work of physics and all the specific details. He decides to go to the Arkist planet, specifically this capitalist nation on Uros. And it's there that he hopes to further develop his theory on basically time.
Simultaneity
to mm-hmm. complete his life's work. And it's his struggle of feeling like an outcast on both his own home world and this alien planet. And does he conform to his society? Does he stick by his convictions? And, you know, how does he navigate being an individual and not being a dick to everyone else in society, balancing collectivism with individualism. I think that fits the category. So maybe if you're a loner, the outcast, the loner. But I still don't like the book that much. I thought it was kind of dull. I think the themes and just the setting of anarchism is silly. So I didn't like the book as much. However, I can understand a lot of people would. So, for the most part, most people would like it. I just didn't. My actual recommendation from me would be The Sword of Kaigan.
Oh.
I think the story of The Sword of Kaigan follows two characters, Mamoru and his mother, Misaki. And Maru is a character who feels isolated a little bit from his family, trying to gain respect from his father and... You know, being separate. I don't know how much I can say about this book.
Be careful.
I will be very careful. It's a Japanese inspired world for world building with Avatar: The Last Airbender magic system built in. It's a bit more than that, but that kind of is a basic understanding. And in this world where Mamoru and Misaki are on this island, you know, the Sword of Kaigan is a technologically repressed society, and basically they're trying to navigate the relationship between their family. Misaki especially feels like an outsider almost everywhere she goes, and deeply desires she deeply desires to conform to her parents and her own community's versions of a good life, and explores that. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful story.
So The Dispossessed for the everybody recommendation.
Yeah.
Sword of Kaigan for your personal one.
Yes.
I went a different direction. Annihilation by Jeff Vandermeer.
It's a good one. Why would you recommend Annihilation? Well, first give...
Yeah.
What is Annihilation?
Annihilation
about?
By Vandermeer is a horror book. Has the atmosphere of a horror book where this biologist, her name's literally biologist, we don't know her real name, is going with some other scientists to a place called Area X, a place in which mysterious stuff happens because her husband went to Area X, came back, and was just completely different and strange. And she has this frictional relationship with her husband. She lies to herself. She lies to the reader. And she's very closed off and isolated herself. The entire theme of the book is about whether it's good to kind of be independent and isolated or cooperate, and also what is real objectivity and subjectivity. That, and her, the core theme throughout the biologist's perspective is looking at how she analyzes things so scientifically, so clinically, and yet her survival instincts are inherently down to her independence. And what does that mean? And she's in this strange area, literally called Area X, where things don't make sense, and she couldn't feel more alone. And it's just that kind of creepy feeling. And if you're an outcast kid out there, this one will give you that sense of loneliness and the sense of, hey, is loneliness a good thing or a bad thing? It asks that question too, and doesn't hand-fist any answer. So it's delightful.
A good pick.
Annihilation is, again, we just had a video where we're talking about our book club picks.
Mm-hmm.
These Annihilation and Sword of Kaigon were both picked from our book club while we read them. But man, Annihilation keeps growing on me. Oh, so
good. It does. So just the more I think about it in context, I remember at the time liking it quite a bit, and I've liked it more and more the further I'm removed from it.
Yep. All right, now let's get some prayer time.
Yep.
The religious kids, what should we recommend out there to the holier kids?
Okay. So I think there's the obvious answers of C.S. Lewis, you know, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and all those Narnia books, or J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Those are obvious. And they've probably already read it.
We got to give them something new.
I can think of nothing new, newer, more fresh.
Oh.
Then
Chop Chop.
The Sun Eater.
That's it. That was my version of like eating sun. Chomp Chomp.
Chomp Chomp, yes.
Yep, yep.
The Sun Eater by Christopher Rocchio. Absolutely lovely. This is my current favorite sci-fi series, at least from, living authors and all this. So, like, one of my favorite, it's two of its books are in my top five books of all time. I'm going to have to maybe grade Rocchio on a curve or something, because he's getting into my top five a little too often. It's not good. He's booting a lot of people out. But The Sun Eater deals a lot with the themes of faith, identity, what makes the self, concept of a soul, the unity of body, mind, and spirit. You get to see the transition from the book one where Rocky. Well,
not get too far ahead if you're.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's hold on then.
Hold on. Okay.
You were just going to go to book one to book two?
No, I was going to describe the author's experience.
Oh.
Between, like, is that relevant context?
That's fine. I think.
That okay to explain?
Yeah, I thought you were going to go. You're going to go from book one.
No.
All right. I'm doing the best I can.
No.
All right.
I'm giving nothing but the context around the author.
It is such a meme in the Discord, too, of just how much you spoil things. Which I'm pretty sure we both have already gone beyond the line. Oh, okay. Go do your thing. Go.
Maybe.
Go
ahead. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, Sun Eater, what I found really interesting, and especially for a person of faith to read this book, they'll gain a lot out of it. But with book one, Christopher Rocchio was disconnected from his faith as a Catholic, I believe atheist when he was writing that, or at the very least agnostic. But by book two, he converted back, he came back to his faith of Catholicism. And I think you can't really tell immediately. It's not like it evangelizes right out of the gate. Book two is just evangelism. But it definitely affects the writing and themes, and you start to pick up on more stuff. And I think if you're a person of faith, you will catch references, and the themes explored will be more personal to you. But the book starts off with our character, Hadrian Marlowe. Chapter one explains how he blew up a sun, wiped out billions of humans to eradicate the last remainder of the Cialcin alien threat and completely eradicated their species in order to ultimately save humanity. And he has done this. He has now been exiled, and he is writing this book to explain his story. And so you already know the ending, reader, and you must read on to find out how he gets there. That's the story. I mean,
I agree with your
record.
I can give
some more details, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You agree?
That's also that my was, yeah. That's my pitch to the religious kids. But also, I threw in the Shadow of the Torture.
Sure.
That's another one.
Sure.
But yeah, of course, your Narnias, your Tolkien's, all of that. Yes. Lovely pitch. Lovely mm-hmm. pitch. Our next one. Oh, do we have a recommendation for you?
Do we have the same one?
Theater Kid. It's toward the Theater Kid out there. We have to have the same pitch.
I would hope so.
It's got to be. What do you have? Yeah.
The Lies of Locke Lamora.
No.
What?
What?
You don't have The Lies of Locke Lamora?
As a Theater Kid?
Come on. Yeah.
What I'm about to say, you're going to change up so quick. You're going to see live on camera the face of a man who's like, oh, that book didn't cross my mind. The Name of the Wind.
No, I respect Theater Kids a little bit more than that. I may have my problems.
What? You're telling me the Name of the Wind with the music seed.
Yeah. I still think The Lies of
Locke Lamora. The entire thing's The Name of the Wind. It's all the theater.
Well, that's the thing.
It's literally, he's in a theater troupe.
Theater Kids are not just the musical kids. They are two different groups.
He's literally in a band. He's in a theater. His parents run a theater company.
He's in a theater troupe. Yes, but The Lies of Locke Lamora is this thieves group, this band of brothers and sisters, and they actually, they are actors that are robbing the poor to... They're running these schemes and they put on these costumes and wigs and they run these elaborate schemes and they put on these live, secret plays basically to con their victims out of their money. I think Lies of Locke Lamora is way better for the Theater Kids.
Name of the Wind. No. Name of the Wind. You Theater Kids. Is it author of Theater Kid? I'm pretty sure he was at one point.
Probably. But then again, I don't like Name of the Wind. Don't want to recommend the book.
You don't like Dispossessed and you recommended that.
Yeah, but I understand why people like it, and I can appreciate that.
You don't understand why people like Name of the Wind?
Name of the Wind, you shouldn't like. It's bad to like it. Like, I look down. I know. It's not something to like. It's not something to praise other than the one music scene.
What kind? Tell me
two music
tell
scenes.
Tell me, what click would like Name of the Wind?
Theater Kids.
If you're a theater kid out there and you want to read a bad book, pick up The Name of the Wind.
You want to read a good book. And you're a theater kid. The Lies of Locke Lamora.
It's a heist book.
Isn't it more fun to being a theater kid? And instead of just putting on a play for the entertainment of others, that you're actually use your theater skills to, rob the nobility, and you have this this tool to basically throw a ruse over the nobility of your society. And you're Robin Hood-esque. It's way more fun to use your theater skills to run a con than just
theater kids
playing.
They follow the rules too often. Like those Lies of Locke Lamora,
They all want to be the rebels.
I'm just pitching the book for who
theater
they are.
Theater kids never want to be conformists. They believe themselves to be the revolution, the revolutionaries. Like they're the resistance. They all want to be. Lies of Locke Lamora can give them that fantasy. I'm right. I'm right about this. You're just upset you didn't think about it.
it's the opposite. I'm so disappointed you didn't say Name of the Wind because I wanted to be in union here. You're half theater kid in a way.
You did. Unfortunately, yeah.
I see half of you as Name of the Wind.
That's the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
I sometimes see. I'm like, yeah, I could see it. I'm sorry. I take it back.
That hurts.
I'm
sorry.
But if you're, I just think that would be the case. I think Name of the Wind just makes too much sense. It's right there. It's in, and Quoth, how theater kid is Quoth?
He is.
Actually, kind of Hadrian in book one, too, is a little bit melodramatic. But,
of course.
But Quoth, the whole book.
I think Lies of Locke Lamora is more fun for a theater kid to experience.
Well, personally, I enjoyed Locke Lamora.
It's
much
more fun, and the entire book is them putting on ruses and acting. That's the entire thing. It's fun.
I genuinely think that the two music scenes are. You know what? We're over. We're done. All right. So the Stoners and Burnout for the next one. This one, I think we're finally going to agree.
I imagine the
Burnout.
You want to say it at the same time?
Okay, you ready?
All right. Three, two, one.
Wind and Truth.
What?
They're burned out. They're done with life.
Oh.
It's like if you're burned out and you're like, hey, like
I might as well read a 1400 page book.
If they lost all will to try, then might as well. All right, I went meme route. You went serious route. Pure Nessie. Pigeon Boy Pure Nessie, yeah.
Pure Nessie is a, depending on how you see it, either a sci-fi book or a fantasy book. Yeah. Reader's choice on what you determine it to be.
Reading it stoned might enhance the experience.
It probably would.
I don't advocate, though. I've actually never tried any sort of drug in my life. Did you know that?
I did, but
I'm no longer in the cool kids group.
No.
All right.
However, Pure Nessie is about a main character named Pure Nessie in this mysterious place he calls the house.
Oh.
It is this labyrinth of these marble hallways and vestibules that go on seemingly forever in different states of decay. And Pure Nessie is, something's off with him. The way he views the world, it seems like he is misplaced here, but he is grateful to all that the house provides. His perspective on his own predicament in this seemingly horrific situation is fascinating to experience. It's a mystery wrapped around where you're wondering, what is this place? Why is this character here? Who are these other characters? What's really going on? It's an absolutely lovely story about ultimately the prison being your own mind. So stoners are going to get a lot out of it. It's correct. Correct take here.
The next category we have is for the rich kids.
Yep.
Those privies.
Yep. I got two answers, but you go first.
I also have two answers. My first one is Pride and Prejudice.
There you go.
If you want to see rich kids society, but back in the 1700s, yep. Yeah. If you want to see rich kids society hundreds of years ago, early 1800s, well, whichever, late 1700s, early 1800s, that is the book. You get balls, you get dancing, you get a mother who wants to marry off her daughters, and that's where you get Mr. Darcy and your famous characters, and you have fun watching the drama unfold.
Yeah.
That's my first one. The second one was The Great Gatsby, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You're watching a rich kid.
The rich kid gets to identify with, the Great Gatsby, actually, instead of normal readers who get to identify with our main character.
You get to see how other people view you, rich kid. You get to see how a book is, the main character is actually the rich guy, Gatsby.
Yeah.
He's actually the main character of the book. It's just, we have to give one of the poors a chance to act like a protagonist. So that's why Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
What about you? Did you get similar ones?
I have two. So the first is The Wheel of Time. Reason why is it's 14 massive books. That's expensive.
All right, that's fair.
You want to look at that? That beautiful looking set back there.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really expensive. That's a pricey book set that most people can't afford. I wouldn't pay for it myself. That was a wonderful gift from my friends, Austin here included, and they bought it for me. And yeah, it took the collective effort of all of them to afford it, because
27 of us, you had 27 friends. Did you know that?
Was it 27?
No. But it's expensive. But that was a, you're not wrong. But what about somebody
who could
just go on Pango or something and get it for $20? Not that, just like the old used copies. You could still get Wheel of Time. Sure.
And in that edition, the themes of the story about responsibility, leadership on what to do with positions of power, is, I think, a good thing for the rich kids to learn. You are in this position of power, of privilege, of, wealth. Maybe use it appropriately and use it for the good of others, and don't be a dick. Don't abdicate responsibility and authority. Actually use your authority for good.
I'm noticing a pattern. Your recommendations, you're trying to help the click. You're going, hey, here's a book where,
Yeah.
What's the highest book you said? Lazlock Lamour or something. You're trying to give something. Hey, here's something to use your click in a productive way, something to aim and strive for.
I'm not recommending theater kids rob people and run scams. I just think it would be fun for them.
Good for them to do in general is what you said and recommended. Yeah. But for the Wheel of Time, you're saying, hey, this would be something that, hey.
It is both expensive.
Leadership.
And leadership.
I see.
I also have a book that I have not read, but I've been recommended so many times that I feel like I just have to mention, is The Goblin Emperor. Our friend Coop has recommended this to us over and over. It's his favorite book. It is a book about this goblin bastard who is, you know, so far removed from the royal line that he's off in some villa somewhere, you know, taking up space, never expects to be a part of the royal succession until something happens. The entire royal family is eliminated, and now he has been put on the throne. And so the entire thing is about a good person being put into a really hard position and given all this power and authority. How does a good person deal with the hard choices of leadership?
And you recommend control? That for rich kids?
Yeah.
You gotta lean into digging on them.
That's what you're here for.
Okay.
Actually, the next one, I have one.
Good.
Yeah.
What is it?
No, it's fine. For rich kids, that's it.
Oh.
For poor kids, I have a fun one for the poor.
Yes, our next
kids.
Click is for the poors.
The poor.
The poors. The poor kids. What do you have?
I want to get it. I want to show it.
You're going to get it? Okay.
Nick Cut here. All right. So I gave away my copy of a book to a poor friend of mine.
So they could get unpoor.
So they could get unpoor. Right. Called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Basically the rules around owning your own business is actually far more profitable than being a salaryman. And it's a fun book if you don't understand the concept of money and how to actually effectively use it. It's a fun book, real basic for you poor kids out there. Maybe just try and not be poor later in life. There's also The Richest Man in Babylon, also a very good book in similar principle of teaching you how to buy assets and not liabilities. And that's why the rich are rich and not you.
Again, we took this prompt so differently of you're giving a book to go, hey, for the poor person, here's the help.
Yeah.
You're going, hey, for the stoner burnout, here's something that will help.
Yeah.
I'm leaning into it of just this is no. I want to give a book that helps them cope.
Oh, okay.
And that's why for this I picked Piranesi. Because you think your life sucks. Look at Piranesi, who is in this endless vast of hallways, and Piranesi's attitude and outlook on life is not asking what can the house do for me, but what can you do for the house?
He has nothing.
He has nothing.
And he is eternally grateful for the endless amounts of nothing he is given.
So if you just want to cope, that's the book. It's all about perspective. And Piranesi, I think back to Piranesi as in its themes of if it's one of those books and themes you think back to and go, hey,
yeah.
I'm being
gratitude.
Think about being gracious every now and then. Now, is there a time to be upset? Absolutely. But not on Piranesi's watch.
I also have Mistborn.
That's
a good recommendation. I think it would be fun. It jumps between, you know, the poor class and the nobility rich class.
Yes.
Off enough, it compares both lifestyles and it's fun.
Nice.
But yeah, yours is correct. Yours is the right answer.
I'm trying to help people cope. I want them to feel seen.
Oh, okay.
All My Friends Are Dead with the emos. I want them, the emo kid, to feel seen and go, hey, look, here's a book.
That just makes me want to kill myself. Yes.
No. No, it's supposed to make them feel the way they feel inside.
Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, okay, last one. Last one is student government.
You go first.
This is the answer here. Oh, I got to. But The Dispossessed, as you were mentioning earlier, of student government would love to look at anarchist society, capitalist society, how do both function, look at... it's ostensibly great, but then look, there's deeper flaws to it. How do you form societies? And I'm with you too. I did not like The Dispossessed, but it does get at that. And I could see the student government types being like, oh, this is interesting.
I went in a different direction of The Assassin's Apprentice by, help. brain.
Oh, Mark Lawrence.
No. Assassin's Apprentice is...
Oh, Robin Hobb.
Thank you.
I thought you were talking Red Sister for some reason.
Yeah. No.
Other assassins. None assassins. None assassins. Not that one. Yeah.
Assassin's Apprentice by Robin Hobb is a mostly political drama with, you know, bastard. Yeah, bastard child.
Did not know that.
And how he navigates this tricky situation in the family lines, basically his worth as a political pawn, all of these factors. Like, it's a mostly political book with assassinating sprinkled in. Really sprinkled. Light sprinkles, in all honesty, for a title called Assassin's Apprentice. But that's beside the point. I think people would enjoy that if you're in student government, to understanding your position in a hierarchy and navigating that appropriately.
I hope we've reached all high schoolers out there who needed book recommendations, because this is all you'll ever need.
Yeah, this is it. Don't think for yourself. Just listen to us. Right?
Yeah. Thanks for watching this episode. Go ahead. Give a subscribe.
Oh, yeah. We should ask that sometimes. Yeah. If you're at this point in the video, you're probably already subscribed. But if you're not, I don't care. You can do what you want. You can subscribe if you want. You don't have to.
Let us know what you would all recommend. If we got any of these clicks wrong, or any of these cliches wrong, if we missed a good recommendation. And we had different approaches in this.
Yeah.
Very different approaches.
Very different.
So we actually ended up with a lot of different recommendations.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as much as all of your recommendations were striving toward hope and, hey, here's something to help you out, the only one that I had big issues with was no popular kids reading The Way of Kings.
That was a little bit more projecting and aspirational. Yes.
That's like, hey, I'm cool.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Okay.
I think it's a status symbol.
All right. We'll see you all next episode. Thanks for watching. Bye, everyone.